Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR, and Race Talk. This is Monday night, July the 10th, and we have a lot of interesting discussion in the lineup for tonight's show here on Fan for Racing Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to get started tonight as soon as Sal Segala, our co-host, gets here, and he's here right now. We're going to welcome him to the show, first of all. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
It's great to have you here. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. We have one of our regulars on Fan for Racing Radio returning to the show tonight as the winner of the ARCA Racing Series Fans with Benefits 150 at Iowa Speedway this weekend. It was Sergeant in Charge at Iowa. As he came home with the victory. Big win for Dalton Sargent, who will be on the show with us at 8:40 p.m. in our winner's circle tonight.
Yeah, it's another big win by Dalton. And you know what? He really needed this win, you know, to get the momentum, you know, for the second half of the season.
Absolutely. They have a week off this week, and then they'll be returning the following week. And I know that taking that momentum into the second half of the season will be really big. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with him at 8:40 when he comes on for our winner's circle. At 9 p.m., Sal and I will begin our review of the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series at Kentucky Speedway. We have post-race audio from Christopher Bell and Rudy Fugel from Kentucky Speedway, as well as from Kyle Busch, who won the Xfinity Series race at Kentucky Speedway. Then, Sal, you have to leave at 9:30, and I'll continue with the show doing the Cup Series review and also the K&N Pro Series East review during our 9:30 half hour. Again, I'll have post-race audio from Martin Truex Jr.'s team. It'll start off mainly with Joe Garone, one of the team owners, and his post-race comments after Truex's victory at Kentucky Speedway. So, Sal, I understand you've got a lot going on there. You may be in and out throughout the evening, but I'm hoping we can get some highlights from you of your favorite part of the racing at Kentucky Speedway this weekend.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Just, man, things happening, but yeah, it was a good weekend of racing. You know, it was unfortunate, you know, that they had to run the Xfinity and the Cup race together, you know, on the same day. But, you know, for the fans that are enjoying the racing, I'm sure it was a good day for them, you know, especially out here in the West Coast where we're having a heat wave, you know, to be able to sit in all day and just, you know, watch racing all day and not have to worry about going out in the heat.
Yeah, it's been a little bit cooler back here. But I will tell you that the doubleheader was great for the fans that were at the track because they got to see both races on just the one ticket. So if they had a Cup Series ticket, they could come in early and still see the Xfinity race. If they had an Xfinity Series ticket, they could stay after the Xfinity Series race and watch the Cup race. So it was kind of a good deal for those fans that were able to see two races instead of one on just that one ticket.
Yeah, you kind of wonder what happens if, say, a fan has seat A, row A, section 2, seat 3 and 4. Then you know, then a guy comes in, you know, and wants that seat, you know, well, who gets the seat? I mean, I have it for the Xfinity race,
the
yeah,
Cup
for the
Series.
Cup race.
Cup Series tickets, they explained from Kentucky Speedway that the Cup Series tickets would have the advantage. So
okay.
If the Cup Series, so the Xfinity Series person would have to find another seat if there was a conflict like that, because the Cup Series team had the priority for Saturday.
Oh, okay. I was curious about that. I was thinking, I said, you know, what happens if they'd have sold out? You know, now what do you do? You know, now you really have a dilemma, you know, on your hands, you know, thinking, you know, okay,
yeah.
You know, how are we going to accommodate all these people, you know, but, you know, it all worked out in the end, obviously, because we didn't see no fights in the stands, but there's plenty of action down on the track, so the action on the track is where you want the action at anyways. You don't want it in the stands.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, there was a lot of action on the track. I know the Xfinity race got rained out on Friday, but there was a great truck race on Thursday. We had the doubleheader on Saturday, and race fans cut their Sundays off to take care of other things with family and friends or yard work around the house. But I'll tell you what, I thought the racing was really good at Kentucky Speedway. I know that there's some hot topics coming out of Kentucky this weekend. But overall, I thought the fans saw some really great racing at Kentucky this weekend.
Oh, yeah, they did, especially with the truck race. You know, the truck race was really, you know, it was exciting, you know, to see Chris Bell and, you know, Brandon Jones, you know, gosh, man,
mm-hmm.
where he found that all that horsepower, to make that charge that he did towards the end, you know, it really made for a real exciting finish, you know. Of course, you know, Chris Bell, you know, picked up another win and it was a good all around race by all the top five drivers.
Absolutely. And although Kyle Busch won the Xfinity Series race from the pole, by the way. The top finishing Xfinity Series driver was actually Ty Dillon. No, let me take that back. William Byron was
yeah,
the top finishing
the
Xfinity
seventh.
Series driver. All the way down to seventh place. So a lot of domination with the Cup teams at Kentucky this weekend, but William Byron had another great run in that Xfinity Series. And, of course, we watched Martin Truex Jr. weather it out for that final restart and come home with another victory. He now has three wins going into the playoffs. And Kyle Larson came home with another second-place finish. And I thought that was a great battle to watch as well because Truex really dominated that win. And Kyle Larson said there wasn't really a whole lot he could do to compete against him.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, kind of going back to the Xfinity race, Ryan Blaney, after he picked up that pit road penalty for the tire, I mean, give him another three, four laps, and he would have caught Kyle Busch. That guy was – he sawed his way through the field and – and like I said, another three laps, he would have caught Kyle Busch, and he would have won that Xfinity race. He was lightning fast.
Yeah, he really was. But I want to get into the race that our next guest participated in, and that is the Fans with Benefits 150 at Iowa Speedway this weekend. Dalton Sargeant came home the winner in the number 77 Cunningham Motorsports car. And he had a very big race against the series points leader, Austin Terrio, who is in the number 52 Ken Schrader Racing vehicle, who finished second. They're up against each other for the series points lead, and Dalton Sargeant was hoping to kind of close the gap a little bit. And he did a little bit, but Austin Terrio was right there in second place.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to close a gap when your competitor is right there, right behind you. But you know what? He still picked up the win. You know, it's another victory. You know what? And he's on everybody's radar now. You know, as the hottest driver. You know, going into the second half of the season.
Absolutely, that momentum. And our guest is with us at right now, so we're going to get right into the segment. That momentum, Dalton, going into the second half of the ARCA Racing Series has to give you a really good feeling, even though you've got a week off here before you head to Lucas Oil Raceway in a couple of weeks. You're the defending winner carrying momentum with you to that next race. It was Sargeant in charge at Iowa Speedway this weekend.
Yeah. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. It's definitely a boost of confidence kind of going into the rest of the season, knowing that we already have two wins under our belt. But, you know, everybody at Cunningham Motorsports just worked so hard on our 77 Performance Plus Motor Oil Ford. And I couldn't be more than happy about the results. And, you know, as you mentioned a minute ago, unfortunately, we only closed up the gap in the points a little bit to the 52 car. But at the same time, I still feel really confident about the rest of the season and how everything's going so far.
Okay. Congratulations, by the way, on your victory at Iowa Speedway. That's a track that you've raced at before. Did that previous experience at Iowa Speedway help you this weekend as far as contending for that victory?
I think it definitely did. You know, this was my fourth start at Iowa Speedway, having one previous start last year in the ARCA Racing Series and then two starts the year before in the K&N Pro Series. So it definitely helped out having some experience going into the race. But at the same time, you know, all the guys at Cunningham Motorsports worked so hard on the car and got it so dialed in pretty good. So I think that's ultimately what led to the victory, as well as some great pit stops and a good car.
Okay. As you know, Sal Segala, our co-host, is here tonight, and I know he has some questions for you as well, Dalton. So we're going to pass the baton over to Sal.
Hey, Dalton, first of all, congratulations on the win, and you know, and especially, you know, like Sheridan mentioned, you know, the momentum, you know, going into the second half of the season. It seems like you have really found your knack with these ARCA cars. I mean, we've followed you throughout, you know, your racing career, you know, the little stint in the K&N, a lot of super late model races, but it seems like these ARCA cars just really, I mean, you've just really got a handle on them.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling pretty comfortable in them, you know, now that this is, I didn't run the full season last year, but I still ran a good chunk of the races, and now, you know, kind of stepping in this year and full swing running for the championship, I definitely feel, you know, pretty confident, kind of actually very confident, you know, really, you know, throughout each and every race. And I'm really looking forward to going to Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis in 2 weeks from now and seeing if we can go win a race there for, you know, it's a local race for all the guys at Big Time, one of my main sponsors, and it'd be really cool to kind of go back-to-back. So, looking forward to going there and seeing if we can't close up the gap some more in that championship against the 52 car.
So how much different is it running for a championship, you know, traveling, you know, from different, from different venues as compared, you know, to your super late model program where it was just, you know, you're just going for the win, you know, it's going for the big money.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's quite a bit different. You know, you have to always kind of have the big picture in the back of your mind. And another great thing about it is that you know, you're always racing against some of the same drivers. So, there's really a lot of respect out there between each other and everybody races each other pretty clean, but at the same time, you know, really hard. So, I feel like it's definitely probably one of the best series in the country right now is the ARCA Racing Series. And, just, you know, the tracks that we go to and the drivers in the field just, you know, really makes a big difference.
You know, and it's funny that you mentioned the tracks, and I think that's one of the reasons that we'll see a lot of K&N, you know, especially, you know, more, I guess more of the K&N East drivers, you know, they'll hit a couple of the you know, two or three ARCA races during the season. And I know when we've talked to him, a lot of it is, you know, is getting the experience not only with the pit stops, but, you know, the bigger tracks, you know, something other, you know, than the, you know, the little bull rings, you know, that the Canon East and West Series races on.
Yeah, I think the series definitely just provides a great, you know, kind of stepping stone and a great kind of base learning point for you know, some of the upper series as we get to go to, you know, most of the tracks that the NASCAR guys race on and some really big tracks and a large variety, you know, from whether it be super speedways like Daytona and Talladega or your larger mile-and-a-half-plus tracks like Pocono and Michigan to your mile tracks like Iowa and then down to your short tracks. So overall, I think, you know, the series just has such a wide variety that it's a great, you know, racing experience and it also puts on a great show for the fans.
You know, and actually on that note, you know, the show that you guys are putting on for the fans, it is exciting, you know, and me and Sharon, we always talk about how much steam, you know, the ARCA series picking up, you know, not only the steam, but the prestige, you know, and also the drivers, you know, that want to participate in the series.
Yeah, I think as the series kind of goes on, I think more and more people are trying to get into the series and, you know, you just see the momentum around the series building up, and as more people want to participate, the racing just keeps getting better and better. And, you know, really, I think one of the major things is that it's a really cost-effective, you know, kind of place to race, and it kind of puts you in a good spot to be seen by some of the upper guys, whether it be team owners or general managers or even, you know, drivers who may own some race teams or whatnot. I think it puts you in a good spot to kind of be seen and recognized by them and hopefully be able to move up the ranks and up the ladder.
Well, Dalton, congratulations on the win again, and then good luck the rest of the season. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Thank you, Sal. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Okay, Dalton. You know, you were in the defending winning car, the number 77 that Chase Briscoe won at Iowa Speedway last season. I'm sure that gave you some confidence going into this weekend, but really, you mentioned your team and the support that you had with your team this weekend. Chad Bryant made some pretty, your crew chief made some pretty interesting calls by keeping you out on the track for the first couple of pit stops.
Yeah, I think it was, he definitely made some great calls. I think it was a call just kind of based off the entire night. You didn't want to kind of stop too early and adjust the car, you know, before the sun started to set. And I think that was one of the things that he did a great job at was managing the calls that needed to be made once the track began to change and the sun started to set. You know, I think he took the information that I was able to give him and hit it 100% on what to change and what changes to make on the car as the track started to change.
Okay, so talk about that just a little bit, because you were running in the top five, but you weren't at the lead for most of the race, and the real key part of this whole race was that last restart. Talk about getting to that point and then what happened on that final restart.
Yeah, well, at the start of the race, we started a little bit on the freer side. I think that's where we initially kind of wanted to start, because knowing that the sun's going to set, we knew the track was going to tighten up. So we were really just kind of biding our time, waiting for the car to come in. And then, you know, after I think it was around lap 70, we actually had a restart after we all decided to kind of come in and pit. And, you know, some of the guys had pitted earlier. So we restarted in about the 11th position. And it was definitely pretty dicey for a couple laps trying to get up towards the front, where we eventually settled out in P2 and didn't take the lead until I think around lap 100. And, you know, from there, we really built up a good margin gap. So the last thing that I wanted to see was that caution with 10 to go, after having such a big lead. But at the same time, I knew that the guys in the pits were going to do a great job at getting us in and out of the pits as quickly as they could. And they did exactly that. And I think that ultimately helped kind of lead to the win. Being able to get out there and restart in first and have lane choice and being able to pick the top.
Yeah, you ended up, you really charged to the front, because you ended up with a second and a half lead over Austin Carrillo, who is the series points leader. Talk about the second half of the season and your thoughts about going after that points lead. Is it still possible for you, or your next race is at Lucas Oil Raceway? Talk about going into that track and your thoughts about contending for that lead.
Yeah, I think anything's possible. You know, I think really the majority of the points that I lost in the championship run were all at Talladega, where I've had my one wreck this year. So that definitely hurt us quite a bit and kind of put us in a little bit of a setback. But at the same time, it's nothing that we can't battle back from. And, you know, it's a long season. We're only halfway through right now, so there's plenty of time to kind of make up a good amount of points. And I'm really excited heading into Lucas Oil as well, because you know, the 77 team won there last year with Chase Briscoe. So I know going into the weekend that we're going to have a great car, and hopefully I'll just be able to get the job done again.
Okay. And I'm sure, you know, having the win at Iowa and that momentum going in as the winner from the last race is kind of a big deal too. And let's talk about your sponsors, because you had a big sponsor on board with you this weekend as well.
Yeah, it was definitely something that was really cool, being able to have Performance Plus Motor Oil come onto the car for the first time this weekend, and then to be able to take them to Victory Lane for it being their first time on board with us was something that was definitely very special and, you know, just super excited about. So that was really cool, and you know, hopefully I'll be able to have them come on back on board later on this season and continue to kind of grow our relationship with each other. But right now, you know, going to be focusing on IRP, and that's actually the home of one of my other main sponsors, Big Time. That's where their headquarters is located and stuff. So we'll be seeing if we can go out there and get a win for them at their home track.
Okay, Dalton. I think I know who my race winner pick is going to be in a couple of weeks for that IRP race.
Awesome.
All right, it's not IRP, it's Lucas Oil Raceway, right?
Correct, yeah, Lucas Oil is IRP.
I said IRP, I apologize for that.
I don't even know which one it's called anymore.
Just a little confusing for those of us that have been watching the racing out there for a while. Sal, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask Dalton before we let him go?
Yeah, you know, Dalton, I'll tell you, it's been a joy watching you progress from the first time we had you on the show to finally getting a chance to meet you at the track a few times and to see where your career is taking you. I'll tell you, the journey is the word I was thinking of. Man, you have really kept us, you know, on our toes, you know, following you, you know, and you know, like I said, you know, watching you grow and, you know, and just see, you know, the wins you get, you know, the ups and the downs. And you know what, from my end of the spectrum here, I just want to say, you know, congratulations on everything that you've accomplished. And, of course, you know, we wish you the best of luck, you know, throughout the rest of your season. And I know we'll continue to have you on the show more and more.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sal. I definitely really appreciate that. And like I said before, I can't wait to see you again at the racetrack. Sure.
Okay. With that, Dalton, I want to give you an opportunity for any other shout-outs you want to do before we say goodnight for today.
Yeah, as always, I got to once again kind of thank my sponsor from the previous weekend, Performance Plus Motor Oil, and as always, Big Time, and team owner Briggs Cunningham for everything that he does and allowing me to drive his race cars. And with that being said, if anybody ever wants to follow along with all my stuff, it's always on Twitter, Instagram, as well as Facebook, all on the same handle as at Dalton Sargent. So thanks for having me on, guys.
We always look forward to it, Dalton, and we're wishing you the best at Lucas Oil Raceway in a couple of weeks here, as well as the remainder of the ARCA Racing Series. I'm sure we're going to have you back before it's all said and done for this 2017 season.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you guys very much.
Okay, take care now and enjoy the week you have off. Do you have any plans during this off week?
Actually, racing we're going to be testing. Yeah, we're going to be testing up at Lucas Oil on this upcoming week. So hopefully we'll be able to get our race car dialed in.
Okay, well, I'm sure that'll certainly help an already good situation for you. And we'll look forward to the next race for the ARCA Racing Series. It is at Lucas Oil Raceway, the Sioux Chief PowerPex 200 on July the 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can follow along at ARCARacing.com where they have live timing and scoring for that event. I'm checking now to see if that's going to be televised. It will be on Fox Sports 1, so fans will be able to watch this race on TV as well. So that'll be a treat as well. Good luck, Dalton, and we'll look forward to the next time we're chatting together.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Good night now. All right. That was Dalton Sargent, and a big win for him at Iowa Speedway this weekend. Always great to see him in victory lane.
Yeah, it is, sure. And you know, and that's such a tough track. When we talk to the drivers, you know, about racing on it, you know, the one thing they always talk about, you know, is tire management. You know, it's real rough on the tires. And, you know, to come away with the victory there, it's tough. I mean, it's funny because we've had a lot of drivers who have won at Iowa from Can-Am West, Can-Am East, and then now ARCA Series, and we hear the same thing about that track.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just so that we're not leaving anybody out in the ARCA Racing Series here, I want to go through the top five because you're right, that is a tough track to race. And there are a couple of really strong performances. Dalton Sargent, of course, was the race winner, but he had to beat Austin Terrio, the points leader, who finished in second place. Sheldon Creed came home third. He led quite a few laps during this race, as did Michael South, who finished fourth, and Kyle Weatherman, who finished fifth in the ARCA Racing Series. As for the series points, as we've mentioned, Austin Terrio has the points lead. Dalton Sargent is second. Our friend Riley Herbst is in third. Dalton's teammate Shane Lee is in fourth place, followed by Brett Holmes in the fifth place for the ARCA Racing Series. So it's really interesting watching these guys race. And as you mentioned, Sal, it's really gaining a lot of notoriety for the competitive nature that these guys have in this series. And the great racing that they put on for the fans.
Oh yeah, they're putting on some good racing for the fans. You know what? And they're getting the experience that they're going to need, you know, to eventually, you know, move out of, you know, the, you know, that, you know, possibly into a truck or an Xfinity race. You mentioned Riley Herbst. You know, he started out here at Irwindale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gotten to see him, you know, come up through, you know, through the ranks, and And the same thing with Noah Gregson, and it's kind of ironic that Noah took the truck route and Riley took the, you know, to stay, you know, with the stock cars. You know, both
mm-hmm.
are very, you know, very, a lot of talent between the two of them, you know, up and coming drivers. And, you know, it's kind of curious to see what happens if they both ever do meet, like in the Xfinity series. It's going to be exciting to see, you know, all these young drivers get up there, you know, including Dalton himself.
Absolutely. I'm sure Dalton will be in the truck series, especially if he continues to race as well as he has been. Speaking of the Camping World Truck Series, we might as well get into our review there because Noah Gregson was one of the stage winners in the Camping World Truck Series this weekend.
Yes, he did pick up the second stage win, and it was good to see him. He also picked up a top five finish, and you know, it's kind of, it was kind of ironic what happened with the Truck Series, because whoever won the stages, the first two stages, ended up spinning out when the race went back green again. If you noticed, they ended up looping the truck. I thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, it's
because
just kind of the way that Truck Series ends up happening sometimes. There are some veterans in that series, but there's a lot of new drivers in the Camping World Truck Series this season. And speaking of that, for the Sunoco Rookie of the Year, there's a tie again between Chase Briscoe and Grant Enfinger. Chase Briscoe was racing with Cunningham Motorsports last year in the ARCA Racing Series, was a champion in that series. And Grant Enfinger, also from the ARCA Racing Series, racing with GMS Racing. Those guys are tied at 125 points each for the Rookie of the Year point standing.
Yes, they are tied. They're put on a really tough battle between the two of them. Chase Briscoe is really, we've really seen him come around a lot, as well as Grant Enfinger, too. I think the last time we had Grant Enfinger on, he was racing in the ARCA Series, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what I said. He raced the ARCA Racing Series.
Yeah.
He was
a
champion in the
Grant
ARCA
on.
Racing Series as well.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
We've got to get Grant back on. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Let's go over the top five. Christopher Bell was the race winner. He had a hard-charging challenge from Brandon Jones, who finished second. Justin Haley from the Can-Am Pro Series, he was the champion in that Can-Am East last year. He finished third. Austin Cindric came home fourth. And Noah Gragson, as we mentioned earlier, finished in fifth place. What's interesting about all of that is you've got three rookies in that top five. Kyle Busch, who's the veteran, finished sixth behind all those guys, followed by Parker Kligerman in seventh, Matt Crafton in eighth, Johnny Sauter in ninth. Those are all the veterans of the sport. And then Austin Hill finished in 10th. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic there between the top five and the next five.
Yes, it is. And, of course, everybody expected Kyle Busch, you know, to once again, you know, pick up another victory in the Truck Series, but it wouldn't be. Instead, it was his teammate, Christopher Bell, and even Chris had mentioned, you know, during the post race, you know, about what it was like, you know, they asked him what it's like to beat your boss, you know, and, you know, he said it was a huge accomplishment. The same thing, you know, they asked Noah about finishing fifth, you know, ahead of Kyle. And actually it was Kyle Busch that gave Noah that push to win the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And of course that's his team owner. So Kyle Busch wants his team to do well. But he wants them to also be able to race him to be able to do that. Now, we do have post-race comments from Rudy Fugel, who is the crew chief for Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell was not on at the beginning here, so we'll listen to what the crew chief had to say about that victory by Chris Bell on Thursday night. We'll go ahead with that right now.
Okay, we are here with the race-winning team of the Buckle Up In Your Truck 225. That's the driver and crew chief for the number 4 Kyle Busch Motorsports Toyota. Winning driver, Christopher Bell. Winning crew chief, Rudy Fugel. We'll kick it off with you, Christopher. This is your third win of the season, picking up your series best third win and also series best 19th playoff point. So setting yourself up really well as the playoffs come here in about a couple months. So maybe just talk about that and your race tonight.
Well, the playoff is, that's what matters. So that's kind of what me and Rudy set out to do at the beginning of the year, was to accumulate all those points to make it as easy as possible for us to transfer to Homestead at the end of the year. As far as the race goes, it was extremely up and down. With the repave and the green racetrack at the beginning, I think everybody was kind of didn't know what to expect. But the track had a lot of grip right off the bat, and it was really fast, a lot of draft runs, a lot of dirty air down in 3 and 4, pretty tough to pass. And once I got back there in traffic, we were kind of mired back there till until Rudy started throwing his magical strategy at it and got us out front, and then our Tundra was fast enough we were able to hold him off.
Thank you, Christopher. Can you tell us that magical strategy, Rudy?
You just go for it sometimes. So it's that's the way it goes. A really good crew of guys. You know, really good tire guy, really good engineer, and a full crew going up and down pit road, checking tires, seeing what we can do, counting how many greens are on the tires. So yeah, we ran a ton of total laps on our lefts, but green laps not so much. And then just a balanced truck and a driver taking care of the stuff, and it makes it easier.
Great, thanks, guys.
All right, that was Christopher Bell and Rudy Fugel talking post-race in the media center about that victory. Some interesting comments there, Sal.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear them. You know, it's funny. You know, the race strategy, of course, that's always the number one thing that comes into any victory out there in the track. And sometimes they'll want to talk about it, and then there's times that they'll talk about it, but they won't tell you the complete strategy because, of course, we know that might be the same strategy they might use for the following week coming up.
Absolutely. And you know, Christopher mentions, though, that it's all about the playoffs, and they want to put themselves in the best possible position when the playoffs begin. They now have 3 wins, which is more than any other Camping World Truck Series driver. They're second right now in the series points, 28 points behind Johnny Sauter, but when they reset at the end of the season, those 3 wins are going to count big for Christopher Bell, and it does put them in a really good position. He also has 19 playoff points already, so that certainly helps him as far as his points in the point standings right now. So Christopher Bell and Rudy Fugel are doing everything they need to put themselves in that best possible position for the playoffs. Okay, I know Sal said he would be coming in and out throughout the night. So, just going through that, Johnny Sauter is first in the series points lead right now. He's at 464 points. Christopher Bell is 28 points behind him, followed by Chase Briscoe at 74 points behind the leader. In third place, Matt Crafton is fourth, and Ben Rhodes is fifth. All are within, with the exception of Ben Rhodes, they're all within 89 points of the leader, Matt Crafton is. Ben Rhodes is 134 points out. Again, it's going to be interesting to see how this continues to play out. Just a reminder, it's the top 8 drivers that will make it to the playoffs in the Camping World Truck Series. Again, Christopher Bell leads with the most wins. He has 3 victories this season. He's also leads with the most pole awards, with 3 pole awards this season. In that regard, he's followed by Chase Briscoe with 2 and Noah Gregson with 2 pole awards. Kev Grala has 1 and Chase Elliott has 1. So a lot of really great things happening. It's really going to be fun to watch what happens with the Rookie of the Year contest. Chase Briscoe and Grant Enfinger have tied before. They're currently tied at 125 points, followed by Noah Gregson at 113 points, and Kaz Grala at 96 points. So the real battle is going to be between those top 2 in this Camping World Truck Series. So, Sal, any other thoughts you have about the series point standings or the race results for the Camping World Truck Series?
Yeah, it's amazing how Chris Bell, you know, he comes from a dirt background. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of early success, you know, from him. And, of course, you know, the other driver that came from a dirt background was Kyle Larson. And Kyle is just barely starting, you know, to pick up his momentum in the Cup Series. But like you said, you know, that Rookie of the Year, Dale wants the championship, but that Rookie of the Year also it also means a lot to these you know, to these younger drivers, and to be able to get a Rookie of the Year and possibly the points championship is going to be huge for not only for Bell but for Kyle Busch Motorsports as an organization.
Absolutely, they've had a lot of success in this Camping World Truck Series, and it's great to see that success continue year after year. And I'll tell you what, Kyle Busch has done a lot to bring new talent into the Camping World Truck Series, and they continue to move up through the Xfinity and on to the Camping World, on to the Cup Series under his tutelage. And we've seen it happen more than once. So he certainly does have not only success in his own right, but he's brought a lot of success to the new talent coming into the sport as well. Okay, Sal. I know, again, he said, Sal said he would be in and out throughout the night. So I'm going to continue on here and close out the Camping World Truck Series with just a few more comments here. Christopher Bell won, of course, the Buckle Up in Your Truck 225 at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. It was his fifth Camping World Truck Series victory. There were eight cautions for a total of 42 laps in this race. And you know, continues to be one of the more exciting races in NASCAR. There were also 10 lead changes among eight drivers throughout the race, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens next. The next race on the schedule is New Hampshire Motor Speedway, but I'm not sure. Let me take a look here. I'm not sure. Yeah, next week we'll be watching the Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy Series. Camping World Truck Series is not racing next weekend. Both the Xfinity and the Cup Series are racing at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this coming week. So trucks will be off this week. Any other comments, Sal?
No, not really on the truck series. And I just kind of feel bad for Ben Rhodes after winning the first first stage, and then, you know, in front of his hometown crowd, he had a lot of people there, you know. Then getting caught up in that wreck, you know, and you know, not being able to finish the race, you know, you really had to feel bad for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben Rhodes has been another one of those drivers that we followed through from his Can-Am Pro Series days and racing the Xfinity Series with JR Motorsports for 10 events last season. And we're always hoping for great success for Ben Rhodes. And I'm sure that that's coming. But you're right. In front of his hometown crowd, I know he was hoping for more than just the stage victory. It was sad to see that happen for him at Kentucky Speedway this weekend. But keep your eyes on Ben Rhodes, because I'm convinced that he will have success with Thor Sport Racing before the season is over.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he will. It's just a matter of time getting that monkey off his back.
Yes, indeed. Sal, let's go ahead and move on to the Xfinity Series. They raced not on Friday night, but on Saturday. As we mentioned earlier, it was a doubleheader at Kentucky with the rainout on Friday. Kyle Busch was the race winner, followed by Ryan Blaney. They put on a really good show for the fans, as did Eric Jones in third, Kevin Harvick in fourth, and Ty Dillon in fifth place. For the Sunoco Rookie of the Year, it seems that William Byron has that pretty much under control at 220 points at this point. The real contest is further down the list. Second place, Daniel Hemric at 171, followed by Cole Custer at 167. So those two are really duking it out for second place for that award.
Yes, they are. They're awfully close to each other, only 4 points away. And you know what? With a little bit of luck on Cole's side, you know, Cole could be contending for the, you know, he could be up there, you know, contending with William Byron on the Rookie of the Year. But you know what? That's how racing goes. And gosh, you know, it's just hard to see him, you know, have the luck that he's been having this, you know, for the majority of the first half of the season.
Yeah, it's been an up and down season for him, and I think when he finds the consistency, he'll have better results. Now, as far as the stage race winning, Eric Jones won the first stage, and Ryan Blaney won the second stage, and of course we know that Kyle Busch was the race winner at the end of the event. Kyle had hoped to win all three events. He participated in all three events this weekend, but the only race he ended up winning was the Xfinity Series race. It was his 88th NASCAR Xfinity Series victory, and that was a pretty big deal for Kyle Busch.
Oh, yeah, it is. You know what? When he comes down, and I like what some of the fans say, when he comes down to beat up on the smaller guys, you know, but... You know, it's funny, during the post-race interviews, you always hear everybody talk about, you know, how happy they are, you know, that these drivers, you know, they participate, you know, because they learn from them. You know, they learn, you know, they try to follow them, learn their racing lines. And just, you know, there's a lot of other things that dynamics, you know, that go into racing itself. You know, these drivers are, you know, the young and up-and-coming drivers, you know, that they look forward to with the older veterans.
And just like we just talked about in the Camping World Truck Series, a lot of those younger drivers beat Kyle Busch in that event. So that's a big deal to them when they're able to do that. And they do learn a lot from Kyle Busch by participating in races with him. Now, we do have post-race audio from Kyle Busch after his win in Kentucky, so we'll go ahead and listen to that right now.
Okay, we are here with the winner of today's ALSCO 300, and that is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 NOS Energy Drink Rowdy Toyota. A couple quick stats, and I'll open it up immediately to the floor when I get Kyle has to get ready for the Monster Energy race tonight. 88 wins for Kyle, 35, an unbelievable 35 of those have come from the poles. So congratulations, Kyle, and we're also joined by the crew chief, Eric Phillips. We'll open it up immediately to questions. If you have one, raise your hand, and we'll get a mic to you. Questions down in the media center to start with. Start right here in the front.
Mark Story, Lexington Herald Leader. Kyle, how hot was it in the car, if it was hot at all, and what's your routine now going into the second race?
It wasn't too terrible out there today. I expected it to be a little bit worse than it was. You know, it wasn't 95 degrees, but it was probably 85 or 88, whatever. But, you know, it's certainly a challenge to just make sure you get enough fluids in you. You know, obviously being able to get the fluids back in, just because, I mean, I'm still sweating, you know, and then still leaking. So you got to be able to put that back. And we'll see how it goes. You know, maybe mine was just like going for a bike ride. So I'm sure Jimmy did that today, and maybe some others. But I'll be ready to go. It's just about being able to get back, get some rest, get in some cool air, and get some fluids down.
You just shout it out.
We'll try it again there. Steve Connolly, the podium finish. Kyle, from the outset of the race today, restarts seemed to be an issue. You had issues on the radio. You were talking about guys hanging back. Talk about your procedures for not only the initial start, but the rest of your restarts throughout the day from leading and what you're looking for behind you.
Well, you're looking for those guys that are laying back. I mean, I try not to lay back from those in front of me. I mean, I felt like the furthest back I got was a half a car length. I mean, I think that's respectable, but, you know, there were sometimes, I think, guys behind me that when Eric Jones and myself were on the front row, they were two lengths back, you know. So you got to just wait as far as you can into the zone and wait for them in order to get back to your back bumper. And the restart zone here is so late and so close to the start-finish line that, you know, it makes it look really, really bad because everybody's anxious to go and we're not even to the zone yet, you know. But just trying to make sure that you don't get – pinned in a bad spot when you're out front, and when you're behind, you're trying to do it right. You're trying to do the right things and not manipulating, you know, what NASCAR wants you to do.
Kelly.
Okay, that was a couple of comments from Kyle Busch after the race. What are your thoughts there, Sal?
You know, he's always up and straightforward, you know, with the, you know, when he talks about, you know, his wins, and, you know, he brings a lot of excitement to the sport. Sometimes he doesn't get all the credit that he deserves, but I'll tell you, in the media center, he's really good with the media, and, you know, when he wants to be. And of course, anytime he wins, you know, we're going to hear a good Kyle. And then we even have the times, you know, when he has one that he really didn't want to say anything. But, you know, Kyle will always be Kyle. And, you know, no matter, like I said earlier, no matter what anybody says, you know, he's always going to bring excitement to anything that he drives.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned earlier that it was pretty much dominated by the Cup Series guys in this event. Kyle Busch finished first, Ryan Blaney, Eric Jones, Kevin Harvick, and Ty Dillon round out that top five. The next five are Joey Logano, William Byron, the top finishing Xfinity Series driver, Justin Allgaier, Daniel Hemric, and Tyler Reddick. So some good performances by the Xfinity Series guys. I'm sure they would have rather been in the top five versus the second five, but some good performances just the same.
Yes, you know, it's the nature of the beast. It was a good race all the way around for those that watched it. I know I watched it, and coming towards the end, you know, I guess I look at it different. I really don't look at it as Xfinity Series. I look at it's racing, and these guys are race car drivers, mm-hmm. and they, I'll tell you, between what Ryan Blaney did at the end of the, after that pit road penalty, gosh, I mean, that was just, it was really exciting to watch him, you know,
it's
come
amazing.
Back and almost, you know, almost take the win from him. I mean, he was just, you know, and we got to remember too, Ryan Blaney is a young driver. He's not a veteran, you know, he's a young driver too. So,
no.
I mean, he had a lot of poise and showed a lot of talent and a lot of heart, you know, to do what he did.
I totally agree with you, and that made the race really exciting to watch as well. Now, as far as the points lead, Elliott Sadler still has the series points lead, but in second place is the rookie, William Byron. And one of the things that he has to his advantage is two victories already this season. He has one stage win, but he has 11 playoff points to his credit right now. And that's more than any of the other drivers in the Xfinity Series. Justin Allgaier is third in the series points at 58 points, followed by Daniel Hemric in fourth and Brendan Poole in fifth place. Running out the top 10 are Cole Custer, Matt Tift, Ryan Reed, Dakota Armstrong, and Michael Annett. Now, keep in mind that in the Xfinity Series, it's the top 12 drivers that will be in the playoffs. And these guys are winding down as well to the final race of this season. You have Darrell Wallace Jr. And Blake Koch, who are in 11th and 12th. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Darrell Wallace Jr. This may have been his last race this weekend at Kentucky Speedway. He's a guy that deserves a ride, and it's really going to be a shame if we don't see him back in the car.
Yes, it definitely will be a shame to not see him back in a car. You know, he's went out there. You know, he's done his, you know, he's doing his job, and you know, he's. I mean, even knowing that, you know, he's still going out there performing real well. You know, keeping a good attitude towards it.
Yes, indeed, and you know, he put a tweet out earlier today. I noticed. Thanking all the fans and letting everybody know that regardless of what happens from this point forward, he's really enjoyed his time in the sport. We certainly hope that he does get picked up by another team and is able to race Sponsorship is hard to come by these days, and there's a lot in the silly season rumor mill right now, especially with the news that Matt Kenseth is not going to be back with JGR this season. Any thoughts that you have on that, Sam?
You know, Sharon, it's I don't know. Once again, it's a tough situation. You know, all the way around for any driver, you know, to have to, you know, to be up against something like that.
Absolutely. I know there's been a lot of speculation that it'll be Eric Jones racing in the number 20 this season or next season. But both Joe Gibbs, the team owner of Joe Gibbs Racing, and Barney Vassar, team owner of Furniture Row Racing, have said those plans are not in place yet for the 2018 season. Eric Jones also confirmed that he has not heard, he has not been given any official word of racing with Joe Gibbs Racing for next season as well. So that is all speculation at this point. A lot of thoughts, too, a lot of speculation, too, that Matt Kenseth may be going to the number 88 car this season, but, you know, you hear both sides of that story as well. So, again, it's all speculation at this point.
Yeah, but Kyle Busch made it clear that Eric Jones was going to get the ride next year. And in one of his interviews, you know, he said, he goes, that's Eric's ride, and, you know, kind of made it clear. It's kind of funny how Joe's kind of kicking out the older guys for the younger guys. We've seen it last year with Carl Edwards, you know, all of a sudden mysteriously decides he wants to retire, and then Daniel Suarez comes in and takes over the seat, and then and I think this whole thing with Matt Kenseth, I don't think it was even supposed to be public yet, because Joe Gibbs made a statement that said, you know what, I we weren't ready to make these announcements yet. And I think it's coming to the point where the driver is saying, you know what, if I'm on a chopping block, you know what, I'm going to put myself out there sooner than later. This way, you know, I can try and get something for
right.
The season locked in. You know, so, you know, it comes to a point where, you know what, if the owner ain't going to be up front with me, you know what, and let me dictate my own career, I'm going to dictate my own career myself, because who knows when he wants to make this announcement. By the time he makes it, it might be too late and all these seats might be filling up. As far as the 88 seat, I think Hendrick already made it clear that Alex Bowman was getting that seat. Of course, there's always the number five with Casey Kane, you know, it's going to be up for grabs too. So, you know, that's also another thing to look at. But
Well, a lot of people seem to think it might be William Byron in that seat as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the same thing with Danica. You know, they're talking about, you know, pushing Danica out, you know, a year early, you know, because lack of sponsorship. And if they push Danica out, you know, everybody's saying, you know, you're going to get, you know, all these drivers. But I think that seat, when it's open, I think it's going to go to Cole Custer.
Which, for Danica?
Yeah, I think it'll go to Cole.
The number 10?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting, without a doubt. There's a lot to watch for in this silly season, and it's already started sooner rather than later. It seems every year it gets started a little bit sooner. And for good reason, as you mentioned, these drivers need the time to be able to look for another seat if they're going to be out from one organization. They've got to be able to look for their next ride with plenty of time to adjust, to make the adjustments and changes that need to take place for that to happen in a seamless manner. So, Sal, I know it's that time of the night that you're going to have to leave here, and I just want to say thank you for all that you do. I know this is a little bit challenging for you on some Monday nights, but somehow we've been able to manage it and keep it going, and I just want you to know how much I do appreciate that.
Oh, thanks, Sharon. It's rough. Just a lot of things going on right now. And, I got to attend to them. And a lot of schedule changes at work and a lot of things coming up. And, man, it's never been this bad. This year has been horrible.
Well, we hope it all works out for you, Sal. And when you do have an opportunity to be here, we will always appreciate your input and involvement on our Fan for Racing radio show every Monday night. And we'll be back next Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll wish you the best. And are you going to be at a track this weekend?
Yeah, I think we have Irwindale this weekend. So I should be up at Irwindale and see what's going on with that fiasco up there. Exciting. Never a dull moment at these short tracks.
Absolutely. Always fun. Again, we'll look forward to talking to you next Monday night. I'll go ahead and continue with our review here tonight, but we'll say goodbye to Sal at this point and look forward
all
to
right.
talking to you next Monday night.
All
okay,
right. Good night,
take
everybody.
Care now.
Okay, goodbye.
Good night. Okay, with that, we're going to go ahead and move on to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race report. And, of course, that was a fun race to watch. Martin Truex Jr. pretty much dominated the event. He won both stages as well as the race. It's the second time he's done that this season. He won the Quaker State 400 at Kentucky Speedway. It was his 10th Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series victory. Before the start of the event, some cars had to be dropped to the back of the field. The number 31 had an engine change, so they had to start from the back. This race had 9 cautions, 39 laps. There were 9 lead changes among 4 drivers. Those 4 drivers were Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and let me see, who else? Joey Logano and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Those were the only 4 drivers to lead throughout this event. The top 5 for the Quaker State 400 are Martin Truex Jr., followed by Kyle Larson in 2nd place, Chase Elliott in 3rd, Denny Hamlin in 4th, and Kyle Busch finishing 5th. The next 5 drivers include Erik Jones, the rookie, Jamie McMurray in 7th, Joey Logano 8th, Kevin Harvick 9th, and Ryan Blaney rounds out the top 10. Darrell Wallace Jr., who we mentioned earlier, this was most likely his last race. He raced in the number 43 car for Richard Petty Motorsports, and he finished 11th. In his Smithfield Ford this weekend. Again, we wish him the best and hope that a ride comes up for him sometime soon and that we see him back at the racetrack. Now, Martin Truex Jr. Is 2nd in the series point standings. He is just 1 point now behind Kyle Larson, so he certainly closed up that gap. But keep in mind, there are only 2 drivers who have 3 wins this season, and those 2 drivers are Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmy Johnson. With the reseeding, those drivers will be at the top standings. Truex continues to be the playoff points leader. He has 28 playoff points with stage wins and race wins. And keep in mind, too, that the driver who is leading the regular season point standings at the end of the regular season will get an extra 15 playoff points. So that is what is at stake between Kyle Larson and Martin Truex Jr. right now, is that 15 playoff points for the end of the season. And right now, Martin Truex is really closing the door on Kyle Larson with just 1 point separating them. So that's going to be exciting to watch in this race that's coming up at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this weekend. As far as the Rookie of the Year standings, it's a little bit of a tight battle here, and one to certainly keep your eyes on. Erik Jones leads the way at 193 points, but not far, just 4 points behind him is Daniel Suarez at 189 points. Behind Daniel Suarez is Ty Dillon at 166 points. So keep your eye on this Sunoco Rookie of the Year battle. Really, it's between Erik Jones and Daniel Suarez, and certainly something to keep your eyes on. Now, we do have post-race comments here. They're mainly from Joe Garone at Furniture Row Racing. I don't think Martin Truex Jr. had made it into the media center yet. So let's go ahead and listen to what Joe Garone had to say after Martin Truex Jr.'s victory at Kentucky Speedway this weekend.
Okay, we'll start our post-race Quaker 400 race-winning team's press conference. We're joined in the media center by the ownership group of Furniture Row Racing, team owner Barney Visser and Joe Garone. Barney, let's start off with you. Another dominant race from the 78 team, leading the series in playoff points with 28. So the championship potential is must feel pretty good. Maybe talk about that and the race tonight.
Well, that's been our goal all year, is to get where we're at here, I guess, leading the points. We're trying to get Eric up there where we want him, and I think he's starting to really show what he's capable of doing. But that's where we want to be.
Great. Joe, how about you on that one?
Oh, it's just amazing. I mean, it was to have the kind of race we had with all the with the stage wins, and then you know, he had a pretty big lead. And that's phenomenal. It says a lot about the race team and just great accomplishments all year. And I think it continues to build momentum. You know, what you when you have these kinds of runs and you go back into Denver and into the shop, all the guys that have been pouring their guts into it are just super hyped up. And, you know, it's a good way to carry momentum into the rest of the races here leading into the playoffs.
Thank you, Joe. Start off with Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires on PRN. Joe, for you, you made it look easy. What are y'all doing out in Colorado to make these cars faster than where you're getting them from? How are y'all putting this stuff together?
Well, a lot of support from Barney Visser. I got to say that right off the bat. But it's about people, really. We have just a really good group of guys. And I mean, all the teams do. But sometimes you get a group that gels really well. It just works really good together, and in particular on the 78 team, the guys have been together for quite a while now, and with Cole's leadership and a few more of the guys at the shop, it just really works well out there, and we have a real isolated, total focus on our program, and I think you see those kinds of results on the racetrack.
You have a question, Bob?
Yeah, Bob Fokker, ESPN. I have two. Either one of you can answer. You guys have three wins. Gibbs has none, and you guys are affiliates, and you work a lot together. Do you ever get a feeling that maybe the information flow might decrease if Gibbs doesn't win?
No, I think Joe's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do, and we both have a full-on share of information, and we both stick to it.
To ask.
Okay, those were post-race comments from team owners Joe Garone and Barney Visser from Furniture Row Racing after Martin Truex came home with the victory with Crew Chief Cole Pearn this Saturday night at Kentucky Speedway. Some interesting comments there from the team owners and an interesting question from Bob Pockus. With regard to the information flow between Joe Gibbs Racing, who has had no wins yet this season. That's been a big surprise of this season compared to what they've been able to do at Furniture Row Racing with Martin Truex Jr. And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, Erik Jones is in the lead for the Rookie of the Year award with his standings. So two great teams there at Furniture Row Racing, and there's a lot of speculation there for next season, but we're going to kind of forego that right now for the discussion of the actual race event of the Quaker State 400. this team, when you think about it, Furniture Row Racing was a one-car operation. They've been through a lot of changes. They're stationed out in Denver, Colorado, far away from the hub of NASCAR, which is in North Carolina. And yet they have found a formula for success that is working very, very well with them, with Toyota, which, by the way, is the newest manufacturer to be a part of the NASCAR racing team. So they've got a lot of things that should be working against them, but they're not. This organization has found a winning formula that is working for them. It was mentioned that Martin Truex's team has been with him for a long time, and they're gelling. And that length of time that they've been together and that camaraderie that they have working out of Denver, Colorado, is certainly paying off for Martin Truex Jr., and he has found great success at Furniture Row Racing. It's going to be interesting to see if that can continue, and I think it would be fantastic if we see Martin Truex Jr. go into the playoffs and contend for that championship at Homestead Miami. We have to wait and see what happens, but I think it's certainly a possibility based on how well he's done during this regular season. And the question I'm going to throw out there is, who's going to be the points leader when Richmond is all said and done in September? Who's going to get those 15 playoff points? Is it going to be Kyle Larson, or is it going to be Martin Truex Jr.? Because both of those teams are having a lot of success right now. And with just one point between them, I'm guessing that we could see that some changes in that points lineup when we're finished with the New Hampshire Motor Speedway race this coming weekend. So who do you think is going to be out front? You can either tweet me at Fan for Racing site and let me know who you think is going to be the points leader at the end of New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Or if you want to call in and talk with me for a couple minutes here, you can call me at 929-477-1790 and tell me who you think the leader will be after New Hampshire Motor Speedway this coming weekend. A lot of great things happening in this NASCAR Cup Series season. And I love the stage racing and the impact that it's having on the series point standings this season. The stage racing has really made all three series a lot more fun to watch. As far as the rest of the series point standings, let me go through that real quick here. Kyle Larson, as we mentioned, is first with Martin Truex 1 point behind him. In third place at 101 points behind the leader is Kyle Busch, followed by Kevin Harvick in fourth and Chase Elliott in fifth place. I'm going to go down through the 16th place drivers because it's the top 16 that go into the playoffs when all is said and done. Going on to the next five, we have Jamie McMurray, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson, and Clint Bowyer rounding out the top 10 with Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Eric Jones, and Kurt Busch rounding out the top 15. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is in 16th place, but keep in mind, he bumps up in those series point standings when the playoffs begin because he has two victories under his. The drivers on the outside looking in right now are Ryan Newman, Daniel Suarez, and Trevor Bayne. If I go down to 20th, it's Austin Dillon. So some interesting things going on there in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series this season. Going to be a lot of fun. You'll definitely want to tune in for the two races that are taking place at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this weekend on Saturday, July 15th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time is the Overton 200 with the Xfinity Series And then Sunday, July 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, you'll watch the Overton 300 with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Also racing this weekend at New Hampshire is the Can-Am Pro Series East. This will be their third race in 3 weeks, and they are really having some interesting racing going on out there in the Can-Am Pro Series West. I'm sorry, Pro Series East. The race winner this weekend at Thompson Speedway was again Harrison Burton. This was his fourth victory of the season. There's only been, he's leading the series point standings. And right now, the second place driver is Todd Gilliland, followed by third place Ronnie Bassett Jr. I'm trying to see. Oh, this is the race results, actually. Race results for Harrison, Todd Gilliland, Ronnie Bassett Jr., Dylan Bassett, Ryan Preece, Chase Purdy, Ruben Garcia Jr., Jay Beasley, and Chase Cabre round out the top 10. So some interesting racing going on at Thompson Speedway. As far as the point standings, Todd Gilliland continues. He's won, as the points leader, he's won 4 of 8 races this season with 4 wins, 7 top 5s, and 8 top 10s. That's a phenomenal performance from Harrison Burton in his sophomore season in the Can-Am Pro Series East. In second place is the Can-Am West points leader, Todd Gilliland. In 8 races, he has 1 win, 5 top 5s, and 8 top 10s. So that also is a very impressive performance from Todd Gilliland, who's racing both series. Third place is Chase Purdy, followed by Ronnie Bassett Jr. and Chase Cabre, rounding out the top 5 in that series. Harrison Burton continues to just impress everyone with what he's doing in this Can-Am Pro Series. He's only 16 years old from Huntersville, North Carolina, but he outdueled his fellow NASCAR Next driver, Todd Gilliland, in a very thrilling side-by-side battle for the lead, and he claimed that win at Speedway this weekend. It was his third win in the last 4 races and his 4th win of the season. He's winning half of the starts this season in that series. So last season, Burton finished 7th in the series point standings. And last season he had 5 top 10s in 14 races and a lot of bad luck. But that bad luck is certainly in the rearview window with the season he's having now in this series. Now, fans will be able to watch the Busch North Throwback 100 on NBCSN on Thursday, July the 13th at 7 p.m., so make sure you set your DVRs to record this race if you're not able to watch it, because this is a really exciting finish between Burton and Todd Gilliland for that victory. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that. Now, the next race for the Can-Am Pro Series East is at New England. They're heading to the New Hampshire Motor Speedway for the United Site Services 70. That race will take place on Saturday, July the 15th. So we'll have all the details in our preview on Thursday night with J.M.J. Huseman starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday night here on Fan for Racing Radio on Blog Talk Radio. So really exciting. Now, you'll be able to follow along with the race at NASCAR Home Tracks on their Race Central. That race is not televised, so you can follow along with their lap-by-lap highlights of what's happening at the racetrack. And they post pictures as well as what's going on to keep fans informed throughout the race. But again, you'll want to watch the race from Thompson Speedway this Thursday at 7 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. That was a thrilling finish. And again, the fourth victory in eight races for Harrison Burton, who is pretty much dominating that Can-Am East Series this season. So definitely keep your eyes open for the remainder of this season. The race that I'm really looking forward to is that combo event at Iowa Speedway at the end of this month. That's one of my favorite races of the entire season, is when the East meets the West at Iowa Speedway. And it's for bragging rights over which series is going to come home with the victory from that track. But both teams are going to be making points with that race at Iowa Speedway just, in a couple of weeks here. So keep your eyes open for more details about that. So we are at the end of our show. We have a few minutes left here. I still have, about 20 minutes left here on the show. And I've covered both the Can-Am East as well as our Camping World Truck Series. If you want to talk to me, I'm going to bring up some of the hot topics that have taken place over the weekend here. But if you want to call in and talk to me about any of these hot topics, feel free to do so. I'm looking forward to chatting with our listeners. If you choose to call in, that number is 929-477-1790. But let's talk about some of the hot topics from New Hampshire. There was a lot of conversation at the track this weekend about the racing surface, and they ended up using the Tire Dragon a little bit more than they anticipated in order to rubber up that track, especially after the rain. And so in between the Xfinity Series race and the camping in the Truck Series race, they ran that Tire Dragon on the track to try to lay some rubber down to make it better for the drivers to race the event. And that they did that because of feedback from the drivers, where they were a little bit baffled at Kentucky Speedway was because after their last repave, everybody liked what they did with the Tire Dragon. They repeated what they did after the last resurfacing because they did another resurfacing in October, and they thought duplicating what they had done before would do the trick. But apparently drivers felt that there needed to be more done, and so Kentucky Speedway responded to that and ran the Tire Dragon for some extra laps around the track to lay some of that rubber down. So from Brad Keselowski this weekend, he was not too happy with his car. He spoke in the heat of the moment right after being eliminated from the race, and he disappointed some people at NASCAR with some of his comments, and Steve O'Donnell talked about it a little bit on SiriusXM NASCAR radio this morning, but he also acknowledged and recognized that it was in the heat of the moment and took that into consideration in his comments. In addition to that, Brad Keselowski came back and indicated that his immediate feedback he hates wrecking. Here's his comments. I hate wrecking for my team and for my fans, which I must add, there are more Miller 2 crew fans in the stands every week, and it's truly inspiring, especially when the wreck is my fault. So he took acknowledgement of his part in the wreck that took place. Like anyone else, bad days suck for me, and sometimes I lose my cool, but I want to be clear about one thing for everyone that follows me on social media. I love racing. It's a privilege to be a NASCAR race car driver in this area. I'll always love this sport, its fans, and consequently, I want to see it succeed in every way. So please don't take my comments about the car today and think any differently about my and belief that it remains the best in the world. See you at New Hampshire, Brad K. So he kind of retracted some of his comments from the heat of the moment right after the race. But these drivers need to be careful about what they say sometimes, and they recognize that, as does NASCAR. I don't think we're going to see any penalties from NASCAR, but it is something to just kind of keep your eye on. Just when you think it won't happen, sometimes it does. So the possibility is certainly there. But based on Steve O'Donnell's comments and Brad Keselowski's retraction, I really don't think we're going to see a penalty there. But keep your eye on it just in case. Some other news from New Hampshire, again, with regard to treating the track, is that New Hampshire has already said that they are going to treat with both the PJ1 track bite and the Tire Dragon in advance of this weekend's racing that will be taking place in New Hampshire this weekend. PJ1 conditioning was previously called VHT. It's a type of resin that's applied to the middle groove at Loudon. The expectation is that the additional grip will increase the number of driving lanes and produce more side-by-side racing for the drivers. They used PJ1 at Bristol Motor Speedway and Charlotte Motor Speedway earlier this year, and it sounds like New Hampshire Motor Speedway is recognizing some of the complaints from drivers at Kentucky. They're trying to circumvent any of those complaints coming into New Hampshire this weekend by running the Tire Dragon and treating the track before the drivers get there this week. So, again, something to keep your eyes on this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway and one of the big topics from the weekend of racing. So with that, let's see if there are any other topics that we want to make sure we talk about. Here's a big one. In fact, we had an article from J.M.J. Huseman on fanforracing.com today about a lot of the silly season news, but one of the big news pieces was that Steve O'Donnell on SiriusXM NASCAR radio this morning on the morning drive indicated that NASCAR is aggressively pursuing new manufacturers for the sport. Now, Slugger Labby on NASCAR America today said, don't expect that to happen in 2018. He says it's more likely that that would happen in 2019 at this stage of the game. But Steve O'Donnell said on Sirius NASCAR radio this morning, we want to make sure that they come in similar to what how Toyota did it. And it's really changed the sport. They've done a tremendous job, and they've really helped the industry. The conversations are ongoing. It's a tough process, and there's a lot to consider doing this. But it's a huge goal for the sport right now. So that's a big statement from Steve O'Donnell about NASCAR exploring options with new manufacturers coming into NASCAR in the coming years. Dodge is one of those manufacturers that always comes up in the conversation. In fact, since they left in 2012, everybody speculated on will they ever return back to the sport. Right now, I think the top two manufacturers being discussed right now are Dodge and Honda, surprisingly. So Toyota made big strides in a short amount of time. NASCAR is hoping to see that happen again and create more competition within that their top three series. So it'll be interesting to see how that story continues to play out. But I would pay close attention to what Slugger Labby had to say And I really don't expect that to happen in 2018. I think it's more likely if we see a new manufacturer, they may announce it this year, but or in 2018. But I would not expect that to happen until the 2019 season at the earliest. So that's just my take on that news. We are at the close of our show already, so I'm going to go ahead and close out for tonight. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. We enjoyed the conversation with Dalton Sargent in our first half hour of our winner's circle, the ARCA Racing Series winner at Iowa Speedway this weekend. And we look forward to being back there next Monday night to review the races that are taking place at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this weekend. We'll do that preview show on Thursday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, with J.M.J. Huseman here on Fan for Racing Radio, found on Blog Talk Radio. So be sure to mark your calendars. We hope you tune in. Enjoy your race week, and we'll look forward to talking to you again on Thursday night. Take care, everyone, and we'll talk to you again on Thursday. Good night now.